She didn't try to explain. Her emergency room instincts kicked in. Distance is safety. She instantly took three rapid steps backward, putting a dense thicket of dead thorny bushes between herself and the screaming woman. Through the gaps in the branches, she watched until the woman finally turned back, shoving the ulcerated pig the rest of the way into the current before scrambling away up the opposite bank. Alone again, Kate slid down the trunk of a dead tree. Her chest heaved. She unclipped the side pocket of her backpack and pulled out her cup. Her wrists were shaking so violently that when she unscrewed the cap, several precious drops of water splashed over the rim, instantly soaking into the frozen mud between her boots. She brought the metal rim to her cracked lips, tilted her head back, and forced her throat to swallow the last two mouthfuls of cold water left inside. It tasted overwhelmingly of heavy metals and rust, a harsh chemical reminder of the industrial world she had seemingly fallen out of. She lowered the cup. She dragged the back of her dirty, scraped hand across her mouth, wiping away the rusty moisture. Her gaze was locked on the distant curve of the river, where the bloated, ulcer-covered carcass of the pig was slowly bobbing and rotating in the gray current. Her throat was completely dry when she spoke aloud to the empty wasteland. "Perfect," she said, her voice flat, devoid of any inflection. "My career trajectory is just genius. From managing combative drug addicts in an Ohio ER to this godforsaken mud pit. If this place had Yelp, I'd leave a one-star review. I'd even attach photos of the spoiled pork." The cold did not allow for rest. Kate shoved the empty cup back into the nylon webbing of her pack and forced herself to keep moving, aiming for higher ground to escape the biting dampness of the river basin. The terrain angled upward, a steep incline of slick, treacherous clay. Her high-end hiking boots, designed with deep Vibram treads meant for manicured national park trails, were completely useless here. The thick, freezing mud packed tightly into the rubber grooves, adding 5 pounds of dead weight to each foot and transforming the soles into smooth, frictionless skates. Halfway up the incline, her right foot gave way. She pitched forward hard, throwing her hands out to break the fall. Her palms slammed directly into a dense, sprawling patch of wild blackberry bushes. The thorns, thick and rigid as rusted wire, tore effortlessly through the epidermis of her left hand. Kate let out a sharp hiss of air through her teeth. She pulled her hand back, inspecting the damage. Three deep parallel scratches ran diagonally across her palm, instantly welling with bright, warm blood. She didn't waste time looking for a bandage in her dwindling supplies. She simply clenched her fist, wiping the blood carelessly against the ruined, muddy fabric of her Gore-Tex jacket, and kept climbing. At the top of the ridge, the landscape flattened out into a desolate crossroads. The wind howled uninterrupted here. Standing perfectly still in the center of the diverging dirt tracks was a tall, dark silhouette. From a distance, against the bleak gray sky, it looked like a scarecrow. Kate approached slowly, her boots crunching on the frozen ruts. As she closed the distance to 20 yards, the air suddenly erupted. A massive flock of crows, entirely black and unnaturally large, took flight from the structure. The sound of dozens of wings violently scraping the cold air was deafening, a harsh, percussive franticness. They had been feeding. Kate stopped dead in her tracks. It wasn't a scarecrow. Suspended from a heavy, rough-hewn wooden beam was an iron cage. The metal was heavily pitted, bleeding streaks of bright orange rust down its bars. Inside the cage was a human corpse.